You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
Stock investing includes risks, including fluctuating prices and loss of principal. Any company names noted herein are for educational purposes only, and not an indication of trading intent or a solicitation of their products or services. LPL Financial doesn't provide research on individual equities. Because of their narrow focus, investments concentrated in certain sectors or industries will be subject to greater volatility and specific risks compared with investing more broadly across many sectors, industries, and companies.
WTCM News Talk 580, it's 8 after the hour. Time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir. Welcome back. Hello? Get all anything on there.
Hello, check.
There we go.
There it is.
There you are, Dennis.
Huh, sorry about that. Good morning and welcome back, sir.
Somebody turn down that music, would you?
I'm getting pretty good at that old voice. Better not get too good at that, Dennis. Well, good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, the 16th of May. Went out for a walk today before I introduced the other ones, and the birds almost like in unison singing happy summertime, happy summertime. The peewees and all the rest, aww, the cardinals. Oh, baby.
So fun.
It is rock and roll time in Traverse City, Michigan. Now, don't tell anyone this, else this, okay? We don't want anyone else up here.
Keep it a secret.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, it is great to be here. I'm sure you've noticed Heidi Cartwright chipping in. Good morning, Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP and managing executive.
Good morning, Dennis. I'm delighted to be here. And I'll tell you, on my drive over to the radio station, the flowers, the lilacs, it's just beautiful. You can find beauty everywhere you look.
Absolutely. And smell the lilacs. I think they're richer this year somehow. Who's that? Hello, hello. And then Deanne Jennings, too, our own director of operations. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back in the studio, and I agree with you all. Spring is wonderful. My husband and I were downstate in Detroit last week, and everything's in full bloom, like full green leaves and everything. But when we came back, we're like, there's green on the trees. We're excited.
Mm, yes. Fun. It's nice to see.
Did you catch any fish?
Oh, my word. Did I ever? We had so much fun. We
really?
Caught walleye.
You went to Detroit to go fishing?
Yeah. We
can you believe it?
We
no.
annually fish the Detroit River for walleye.
Wow.
We jig them. And I think my biggest was 23 inches. So
wow.
It was fun. It's just fun on a little rod. And
serious
bringing
business.
Them in. Yeah.
Why Detroit River and why this time of the year?
Actually, Detroit River, I believe, is nationally known for walleye. It's a big deal. Like, there is loads of walleye. I should know the number, but I don't. But, yeah, everybody comes from around the country to fish Detroit River for
were
the
there
walleye.
A lot of people, a lot of boats out with you?
There were a couple weeks prior to us going was the big time,
the
big run. So we kind of hit it on the inside, but we still had plenty of fish. We caught our limit every day. So my husband was my guide, and he did a good job.
Doesn't that just blow your mind, Ron, all your preconceived notions? I heard that about a year ago, and I said, Detroit River?
Motel?
Right,
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And people would think it's really a clean-looking river. Like, it's a aqua blue color, you know?
Jeez.
You wouldn't, when you think Detroit, you don't think that, but yeah, it's nice. I think it's like within 27 hours, the whole river flushes out. So
okay.
The current through the Great Lakes goes through all.
So once they got it cleaned up, it kind of exemplify, if you will, the comeback of Detroit.
Yeah.
It's no wonder they all gathered there for the NFL combine or whatever the heck
draft.
They called that. Yeah.
Did you see the Gordie Howe Bridge, Deanne? Not to get too far off the track.
You guys, there is one slot in the center that is not connected. Connecting.
Oh, it's missing a tooth.
And
just
I'm like
Gordie.
Yeah. I'm like, is Canada and U.S. fighting over who gets to put the last piece in? I don't know. But it looks beautiful, though. It's a beautiful bridge. We fished under it.
I'd like to see that, yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So we should probably talk about investment stuff here this morning. It's great to have you here with us. If you do have a question of a financial nature that you would like to chip in on, you're certainly welcome to do that. Our text and phone, if you would, Ron, is...
231 area code 947-0023. You can text us through that or call. The area code's 231.
231, yes.
231.
Thank you, the area code. Next, from Capital Group, exciting stuff on the economic front from their Capital Group research area. Now, these Capital Group has been in business since 1934. So they're not has-beens or recent bins, if you will. Forecast at $189 billion in 2024. Four technology giants would account for 21% of the total capital expenditure of AI. Artificial intelligence capital expenditure race is kicking into high gear. These numbers, I had to read them a couple, three times to almost believe what's going on. And the other issues that are being forced to the front as a part of this, too, is really something. Over the next 3 years, this group is estimated to spend $500 billion as the AI race heats up. So four technology giants could account for 21% of the total capital expenditure, up from 4% of the total capital expenditure a decade ago. So they went up about five times in total expenditure, estimated to spend $500 billion. Who are these companies, you ask?
NVIDIA?
He's right on it.
Bing, bing, bing.
Can we guess?
Good job.
Yeah, yeah. Google?
Meta, however you pronounce them, recently raised its 24 capital expenditure forecast to a range of $35 billion to $40 billion.
Facebook and Instagram.
Not chump change. Exactly. A 38% increase year over year. So we'll just call that 40%.
Wow.
About 12 to 15 billion more. Alphabet or Google and Microsoft also signaled plans to enhance their AI capabilities, raising their capital forecast by 91% and 61% respectively. Revenues and earnings have been robust for the large tech firms, supported by high cash flows, enabling them to meaningfully increase their CapEx, capital expenditure. These companies predict AI will permeate all aspects of life and enterprise. Thus, they race ahead to build, despite bottlenecks to chip design, procurement, and energy. Now, you may ask,
Isn't that interesting, the energy part, right? You talked about that, yeah.
And here in my hot little hands, just for you, Ron. Big tech firms seek nuclear power with AI push. Now, I have a client who's right on the edge of societal evolution, we'll say it, because about 2 to 3 weeks ago, he said, Dennis, what firms are going to be involved in the nuclear power generation, the smaller power generation that these companies are going to need? And I didn't have an answer right away, but I have a partial answer now. I think this is fascinating here, so I'm going to read this. Long-shunned nuclear energy appears poised for a comeback. The world's largest tech firms, including Microsoft and Amazon, are increasingly exploring nuclear energy as a solution for their enormous power needs. Individually,
yeah,
they're going to look at generating their own power.
They have like mini reactors now, I think.
Yes, they do.
Oh. Yeah, I've read about those. It's really interesting. They're more efficient, much smaller, It's making nuclear energy more attractive as a source of electricity and other power needs.
The growth of artificial intelligence, AI, and the vast electricity requirements of data centers have placed additional emphasis on electricity, even as companies attempt to meet their emissions goals. So I thought this takes the preconceived notions about what was going to happen to energy right off its rocker, if you will. 6 to 8 years ago, we attended a conference out at TD Ameritrade back when it existed. And a gentleman who was at the forefront of prediction science, if you will, predictive.
Futuristic thinker.
Yeah. He said at that time that he thought in 5 to 7, maybe 10 years at most, that electricity companies would actually have to be buying power back from individuals because they would have too much. They would have excess generation power from solar and wind. I was laughing to myself this morning thinking how wrong that was. But who would have thought? Because the cheese got moved big time in the need for power generation because of AI.
Yeah.
Because of their centers that are going to, this chip production, totally removing the preconceived notion about how much power we were going to need. Can you even believe that these companies are thinking about producing their own power?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have thought you could do?
I mean, they...
Yeah. Exactly. You can fish in the Detroit River and get a nuclear power plant
as a result there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, all of our just crazy stuff. For utility companies that own nuclear power plants, they're gaining a new lease on life. As we've been talking about, they're going to try to fire that one back
Palisades.
Yeah. Even though it's been under wraps for decades.
First one in the country that they've shut down and are now going to recommission, I guess.
Yeah, and that's going to be a stretch. We'll see whether or not that happens because, of course, those things really do age. So we'll see. I don't want to get into that, but it's just interesting that they're even trying to do that, I think. Where their lowest cost form of power is generating more revenue than was previously forecast. Electricity usage from AI, crypto, and data centers could double by 2026.
Wow. Jeez.
2 years.
That's not too far away.
No, it is not.
Plus electric vehicles, if they are successful in pushing that transition, will be even more demand.
Yeah, I just see a huge number of people up north wanting to get an electrical vehicle.
Or the battery.
Sorry.
Heidi being shaded. One of them.
Yeah.
The battery plants, they say, suck up a lot of energy, too.
Yes.
Electricity.
All that production. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, while we kind of make fun of the electrical vehicle thing, if they can begin, and they're already starting, of course, to make those more economical and lengthen the time frame, if you will, that they'll go, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting.
Maybe someday we'll all have our own little nuclear reactor in our backyard.
In our backyard, yeah. Right by the doghouse.
Yeah. Hey, dear, did you put water in that thing?
I think it's attractive as a source of energy, too, because it's more reliable than maybe some of the more environmentally friendly energy producing.
I think it's fascinating that Microsoft and Amazon, you know, huge tech companies are going to grab a hold of this because you know something's going to get done, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. When the private sector is taking that up, they're going to figure that out.
Exactly. They're going to be ahead of the curve and get it done.
Separating AI hype from investment opportunity.
So if, like, your friend who's ahead of the curve asked you about this and said, hey, who's going to be involved in manufacturing these nuclear reactors?
We're still trying to get that info.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Should be interesting.
I think so. Mm. So the artificial intelligence hype cycle has kicked into hyperdrive, separating AI hype from investment opportunity. I think this is a valid part of it, too. Investor excitement has turbocharged share prices for the most visible enablers of generative AI, including NVIDIA, as you mentioned, Ron, Meta, and Microsoft, an investor in OpenAI. From 2023 through February of 24, the three tech giants soared 519, five times, we'll just say, three times for Meta and Microsoft, and 77%, for Meta, three times, and Microsoft, 77%, respectively. The question for investors, has generative AI, which is defined as platforms and tools that can generate new content, including text, images, video, and sound, launched a lasting megatrend, or has its potential been greatly exaggerated? They say, and I thought this was the key component, and this again is Capital Group. They've been around a long time. We believe generative AI represents a transformational shift that will lead to unprecedented investment opportunities. The challenge for investors today is to separate the hype from what matters. And many of you want to say, I just want to let our money managers do this, which is what we do to the great extent, and or stick with larger companies that you know have a much better chance of making this work and or have the money capability, if you will, to invest in this sort of market. Four mega trends to watch. The AI market may be bigger than you think. Earlier adopters are using AI. Businesses are already seeking to tap into the efficiency and productivity gains AI can deliver. As much as 30% of hours worked in the U.S. could be automated by 2030, according to the McKinsey study. Here are just a few ways companies are integrating AI into their business. Scientific and medical discovery. Two, product development. Consumer products giant P&G has been using generative AI to improve molecular discovery, enabling it to develop, for example, 100 fragrance options at a time rather than one. Just that little stuff. You go, okay. Four, IT.
How many do you need, though?
Yeah. Sorry?
How many fragrant options do
yes,
you need, I guess?
Exactly.
Sorry.
I don't like that. Lastly, IT services. Companies were already shifting several of their IT needs to the cloud and outsourcing more of their tech support. This trend is being amplified by the proliferation of generative AI, which has spawned a host of smaller companies that offer larger enterprises consulting and IT services that can evaluate and score the quality of content being created through the AI process, which can generate false or misleading information known as hallucinations. So anyway, they're able to correct some of this using generative AI, and they're able to use it in a variety of applications that we can only dream about at this time.
I had a friend post on Facebook, someone in the publishing industry, and they said, people are actually throwing some factoids and information into their AI generator and saying, write me a book, X number of words, and AI writes the book, and they sell it on Amazon. They're selling books on Amazon that they didn't write, that AI wrote.
And they're disclosing that AI wrote this book? And
that part
give
I
a
don't
shot?
Know. I don't
That'd
know.
Be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be follow-up legislation on a lot of these things that develop out of it, because it's sort of a unsure thing out there. Mm-hmm. Like you said, who gets credit for that?
How to responsibly control it, and probably be some ways that they're irresponsibly control it, which is part of the deal. So Heidi is going to be discussing a small part of the class that she, Nathan, and I were part of last week in the Ed Slott conference that we attended down in Indianapolis. And man, a ton of information again there. Ed typically on his rant, he just came up with a new book, a derivation of the previous one. What is the name of it again, Heidi?
It's the retirement tax bomb ticks louder.
Yes.
The retirement what ticks louder?
Tax bomb.
Tax bomb, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The retirement tax bomb ticks louder, and Penguin Books released this thing in a hurry so that we could get the book as a part of the class. And, boy, they were excited about that. And it's interesting reading because so many changes have occurred just in the last 4 years to have them redistribute the book, if you will. But Heidi's going to be discussing the once-per-year rollover rule, which many people get caught in. And they were talking about to some extent down there because so many people get stung by this. So,
before Heidi, we move into that segment real fast,
sure.
Can we grab a call from Karen?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Then we'll get to Karen's on the line for Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Karen in Traverse City.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi, hi, Dennis. We actually are due to have a meeting with you soon, but I figured I'd call in and ask. We are getting ready to sell our home, and we'll have another home to move into that we own already. So what do we do with that large chunk of money that we're going to make on the sale of our home that we won't probably need for a year and a half when our when we sell the other house and new construction is done? What do you do with that money? Just shove it in a savings account, or do we come and do something with you where we could make some money on it?
Yes. Well, okay, so what you're saying is you're going to have it for a year and a half before you need to start drawing from it? Just to clarify, Karen.
Yeah, about that, I'm guessing about that, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to need to draw income for your lifestyle from it.
We will not, no. Mm-mm. No, it's just, it would be like if we won $200,000, what do I do with it?
Will that be a capital gains penalty if they sell the house and make a profit?
No. You can avoid up to $500,000 of gain as long as you qualify having lived in the home for the last two out of the last 5 years. You can avoid the gain.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing. So you most likely won't have any gains to declare. It's tax-free. That's a beautiful part of selling a house, number one. Number two, in terms of short-term interest rates, just to address a small piece of it, short-term rates right now are 5% or so.
Okay.
So you can really get a competitive interest rate very easily. And, of course, we can talk about that, too. We can do those sorts of things. So there are a lot of options out there, and we'll have that conversation more in depth when you come in. But the nice thing is you've got a lot of options there that can be as conservative as you want them to be and still be very, very competitive in terms of interest rates, which is brand new from a year and a half ago when they were at one, you know. So five, that's kind of nice. Yeah. All right.
Conservative, too.
Awesome. We'll see you soon. Thank you
for the call, Karen. Sure appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Karen.
I got to say, our relationships with our clients overall has been an amazing thing. Dennis gets philosophical, but I'll say for myself personally, I have learned as much from my clients as they may have ever learned from me. I really do mean that. Just by watching them go through life. Life, as you know, and the responsibilities that we take on are not small. Those with children know especially what I'm talking about. But anyway, setting that aside, the responsibility that we're all taking to try to figure out our own retirements, or what are we trying to do with this money? I still remember an interview years ago I saw with Capital Group again. I really do admire them. Or one of the gentlemen on this interview said on the video, you know, people are trying to save for something. It's serious stuff. It's not, sometimes it's for income. Other times it's just because they want to accumulate it for the generation that follows. Whatever it is serious stuff. And that's why, you know, we take it seriously. We really do. But, man, we learn from our clients. So thank you for the phone call. Heidi, next.
All right.
What do we got?
Yes, this comes to us from our our class book that we got at Ed Slott last week. It's several hundred pages, so we'll have lots of material to relate to people over the coming weeks. But we wanted to start today. Let's start with the 60-day rule, which we'll get into that once-per-year rule that Dennis had mentioned. So a 60-day rollover rule, this has to do with rollovers. And what they're talking about with rollovers is when you take money out of a retirement account, they give you a check or written out to you. You either put it in your account or you have this check that's written out to you. And then subsequently, you want to put it in another retirement account. So it could come from multiple different sources and you want to move it around. This is not what a transfer, a trustee-to-trustee transfer is. That is another way to move money around. That's where it goes from custodian to custodian, and you don't get your hands on that money, and you don't touch it.
Okay. So that rule does not apply to the trustee-to-trustee transfer. The rule that we're discussing here does not apply to the trustee-to-trustee.
Exactly. So we're talking about something else here. I just wanted to be clear.
Thank you.
Because sometimes you can't avoid getting the check. Sometimes you may ask for a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Something gets processed wrong, and they end up sending you the check already, or you check the wrong box on something. So what do you do if you're in that situation and you receive these funds, but you want to keep it in a retirement account? Because as if it was a Roth, you don't want to lose that tax shelter that you have with the Roth. So what you can do is within 60 days of that check, if you put it in another account, you're good. You're good to go. It's as if the money has always been in a retirement account. But what happens if you miss that 60-day rule? So the tax code gives the IRS authority to waive the 60-day requirement and allow taxpayers more time to complete a rollover. So there's several ways you can do this. And one way is in 2016, they started allowing people who had these, who missed the 60-day time period to be able to self-certify and say, there were some extenuating circumstances. I couldn't get the money in within that 60-day period. And then they can avoid any of the tax ramifications or penalties that could come along with missing that 60-day rule. So there are a couple of conditions for self-certification. One, you can't have been denied previously on the same transaction. So if they've already denied that your transaction was invalid, they found that it's been invalid, you can't resubmit for a second bite at that apple. So some of the things that you can are legitimate reasons for not being within that 60-day time period. There could have been an error by the financial institution, and you can claim that as one. Another one is...
Hang on, I want to interject here. So many times there are options to avoid having to pay this penalty.
Exactly.
And I would say if you like, obviously you're welcome to contact us if you wound up in this sort of a situation. Many times there are ways out, including the self-certification, which is what Heidi is discussing here. Okay. Remember, many times you have options. Think about that as part of it. Okay.
One quick question.
Yes, sir.
So you're talking about you get a check from your financial institution, you want to roll it over into another retirement account. Why would you be getting that check? Why wouldn't you just be staying where it is?
Well, there's several reasons. Maybe you don't want to have the money there anymore. Mm. Maybe you want different investment opportunities.
Okay.
You could be moving from custodian to custodian, or maybe you're moving to another part of the country and you're changing advisors, and they have different custodians, and there's a lot of reasons that could happen.
Yes. Now, we're not talking about a retirement plan rollover. We're talking about IRA to IRA rollover here, where you actually get constructive receipt. You get a check, okay, out of the IRA, and you say, I thought this was going direct. This is the problem we're talking about, where you get the check out of your IRA, and maybe your bank sent it to you. by mistake or error, whatever reason you got it, you decided you want to roll it back. You can only do this once per year if it comes out of your IRA or your Roth IRA, which is what we're talking about here.
And I had a great example with a client a couple months ago. They wanted to take some money out of their IRA for a down payment. And so they took the money out, but then they received an inheritance and they didn't need to have that IRA money for the down payment because they found another source. So in order to avoid the tax on that distribution, that sizable distribution, they wanted to roll the money back into their IRA and use the money they inherited instead. So that there's all these different things that can come up in life where you may find yourself in this situation.
Right.
All right. So what you have to do for self-certification is you have to write a letter to the IRS, and they very helpfully have included a template in the IRS tax code, so you can look that up on their website. And what I'm going through right now are some of the permissible excuses or permissible things that have happened that can allow you to have a waiver or not be responsible for any taxes or penalties on that transaction.
And those taxes and penalties can wind up being 20, 30, 35% or so of that amount. So that's expensive money to take out, especially in a lump sum. All right.
Correct, because, you know, some IRA accounts, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in there, and you could be exposing your income to a big tax hike.
A big whopper.
So let's continue on with some of our reasons for missing that 60-day deadline, permissible reasons. That was the error by the financial institution. The check was misplaced and never cashed, so you can't find it. You lost it. The distribution was deposited and remained in an account that you thought was an IRA or a retirement account, but actually was not. I've seen this happen where people put it in their checking account or savings account, and they thought they had put it in their IRA or their Roth IRA.
So you see, some of these confusions can be, you know, very obvious, or, you know, just almost a sleight of hand. Well, I had no idea. So keep that in mind. There are options. That's cool. Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
All right, there's another one. If your residence was severely damaged, do you think of those people who were in a tornado? Mm-hmm. How would you ever find your check after the tornado mm-hmm. came through?
Oh, come on. Really? I'm teasing, of course. Yeah.
Right. If someone in the taxpayer family has passed away or they're seriously ill, people get distracted, your energy's going into a different area. That if the taxpayer was incarcerated, that's another excuse. You know, you weren't home.
Wow.
You were somewhere else. Away.
What if your dog ate it?
I'm not seeing that one on here, but...
I don't know that they'd accept that or not. It might work in fifth grade, but, you know, who knows?
Another one is if restrictions were placed on the check by a foreign country, that would be an international type issue. A postal error occurred.
You can blame it on the post office, Ron.
Yeah. Or if the account was under a levy and distributions were made in error. So there's quite a list here. So what you should do is you write the letter, you name the reason why you were delayed in doing the 60 days, and what the IRS will do for a self-certification. It's not really a waiver. They just treat that transaction as a valid transaction. But they do reserve the right to come back and look at it and say, hey, you know that reason you gave, that didn't work out. Mm. But they are going to treat that transaction as valid and not generate the tax.
So what Heidi is referencing here from EdSlot is fixing missed 60-day rollover deadlines with self-certification and 5 easy steps. That's one of the many reasons we're with EdSlot. I mean, the amount of resources that we have, we can take advantage of in this whole game we're trying to play, just huge. So thank you, Heidi. Great stuff. And we'll be talking in the coming weeks about more of the info that we gleaned from Slot and Company. Deanne, we have some stats here we wanted to add, and there were a couple that were really good. Could you hit those, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Newmont Corp, a metals and mining company, took the top spot on the S&P 500 in April 2024 with a price return of 13.4%. GE Vernova Incorporated, an electrical company, was in close second, returning 12.4%, and that source is Y-Charts.
Hit that S&P 500 thing on the April numbers, if you would.
Yes, let me find it here. The S&P 500 fell 4.16% in April 2024, marking the first decline since October 2023. This follows gains of 1.59% in January 2024, 5.17% in February 2024, and 3.10% in March of 2024. And that source is Y-Charts.
And in the month of May, the S&P now is at all-time highs.
Yes, we just got word.
Mm-hmm. So don't try to time the market, folks.
The Dow has hit 40,000 first time ever. S&P right now, 5322. Is that an all-time high, too?
It is.
Wow.
Indeed. You bet. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. So Dow's at 40,000. Go ahead, Deanne. I think we have room, time for one more, if you would.
The Magnificent... Magnificent Seven, I got it, still dominates the S&P 500 gains, accounting for 51% of the year-to-date index return. Year-to-date, NVIDIA is up 74.5%, helping offset the 11.5% decline in Apple and 26.2% decline in Tesla, and that source is S&P Global.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What a time we live in. It's exciting.
Artificial intelligence leading the way.
Yes, yes, sir. Well, thanks for listening, and boy, make it a great day. Make it a great week, please. Thanks a lot.
947-3992. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings, live from Prout Financial Design. Thank you all.